And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're on the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. And we have a great guy here, fresh off the Pacifica. Captain Andrew Viola is here, and we're going to be talking what the current conditions are and what's going on out there. You stay tuned. This is Southern California's sport fishing voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone, the Ford F-150, available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, what a great time today is going to be. And you weren't kidding, fresh off the boat, man. Like, it looks like Andrew was throwing scoops of bait here not long ago.
Yeah, literally. You just came in, what, 5 a.m. this morning on the Pacifica?
Yeah, we just got in, just a few hours ago.
Now, day and a half trip?
Yeah, day and a half.
Yeah,
we left Friday night.
Yeah, so give us a report.
So it was...
It was not yet.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, there's a few things that go into it. You know, the weather's
a little choppy,
fresh off the moon, which, you know, isn't always something to die by. But it was tough. I do have faith that, especially with, you know, like I said, getting off the moon, good weather in the forecast. We get this little heat wave coming. I think it's sooner than later we're going to get back on them.
It's here. I mean, the planes are seeing them. There's schools all over the place. It's just a matter, they're doing the bluefin thing, right?
Exactly.
They do that disappearing bite.
So it keeps you coming back.
Thing.
Never knowing.
And then tomorrow or the next day, as soon as we get a patch of good weather, boats are back out, and then boom, man, there they are.
Yeah, exactly. Then you can't find your way out of them.
Yeah. Now, you said you didn't even start running until after Easter. And by the way, happy Easter, everybody. Yeah. You didn't even start running until after Easter.
Yeah, last year our first trip of the season was the week after Easter. So, I mean, I know we're all gung-ho because, really, in my opinion, the spring is the new fall.
Right.
The last few years.
So true.
But, last trip, our first year was the week after Easter.
Yeah, last spring was good, right?
Oh, man, it was insane. Yeah. It was insane. Some of the best fishing I think I've ever experienced.
What was it? What was the type of fishing? Was it all nighttime fishing? Was there daytime fishing, kite fishing? What was going on?
Really all last year we didn't do much kite fishing at all, not like years past. But in the springtime it was all nighttime. It was all in the dark, all in the heavy jigs. There was a lot of nights. 3 hours leaving, 3 hours out the dock, we already had limits. You know?
So crazy.
Come on.
So crazy.
Yeah, it was,
like in April.
It was insane. And there was some daytime fishing as well, which was nice. You know, I mean, who doesn't like getting a bite on a fly line sardine?
Best thing in the whole world.
Yeah, for sure. And it could happen again. I mean, there's certainly the planes have said that there's the quantity of fish is as good or if not better than last year.
Oh, yes. So. The same thing was the reports from all the commercial guys. They just said it looks the same as it has for the last however many years. And
we're just in this endless winter. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just like every week it was another system and another blow and the water turned over again. And like, we haven't even been getting, like, obviously the last 2 days have finally been back to, you know, back to what Southern California is like. But, like, we haven't even had any of those in between. You know, it was like system would come through, it'd blow super bad for 3 or 4 days and roll everything over. And then it was just generally crappy for a couple of days after that. And then it would be terrible again. Like,
yeah.
We never even got, like, the little hint of nice weather. And it finally feels like it's at least it's starting to turn back into our favor.
Yeah. I mean, like Art was talking about yesterday, and you were saying this morning, that downhill current mm-hmm. needs to subside a little bit.
Yeah.
Weather
yeah.
gets better, and it's starting to happen.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the catalyst for sure, is a little bit of good weather. And I think we have a heat wave coming next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been insane. I heard something the other day that we've gotten more rain in Southern California than Seattle this year.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Is that right? All over it. Yeah. Got them over it.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. And the snowpack, of course. That's crazy.
Yeah, right. You know, see all those pictures.
I mean, I was talking to my friend Jimmy Hu from Mammoth Resorts yesterday, and the opener is on the 29th of April, which is basically 2 weeks from yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said Crowley is still frozen solid. He says there's one little patch at Crowley that's open, and he says, I don't know. I said, so where are people going to fish, Jim? And he goes, well, Bishop, you know. I said, but that's already open. It's the open year round.
The Walker.
So
like,
there really is no kind of Sierra opener this year. Is Fishmas going to happen? Maybe Fishmas going to have to wait a month, right?
When I was at the trade show last week, I was talking to some of those guys from the Mammoth Lakes. They were saying they're planning on snowboarding till July this year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Jeez.
That's so rad.
Yeah, well, Jimmy yesterday said he wouldn't be surprised if they just keep the resort open all year.
No,
because he said maybe August. Yeah, that's what he was saying. It's possible.
Crazy.
But you don't know, right? Yeah, there's so much snow up there. They had record snowfall, so most in, and they're still unburying houses. They're still finding houses that are buried.
So wild.
Yeah. Yeah. But he did say he was on his way back from Pyramid. He said the bite was epic.
Okay.
There. Yeah, so he had good.
I'll bet it's so cold up there.
Oh,
wind blowing down those snow-filled mountains.
He said the water was like in the low 40s, something like
that's
that.
Crazy.
Like, oh, man. And when it's cold up there, it's cold.
It's the real cold.
Sure. Yeah, it's a real cold. But, hey, so tell us about the Pacifica.
Yeah.
You operate out of C4 Sport Fishing.
That's both so beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
It's coming along. Yeah, we're out of C4th in Mission Bay. We do everything, really. Our primary focus is like one to three. We have a couple 4-day trips this year. But 1 to 3-day trips, mostly local bluefin tuna or, you know, whatever's biting. We take 28 people on our shorter trips, and then on some of our longer trips, we drop it down to like 20 to 24,
nice.
Just to make a little bit more room for everybody.
So what would be a longer trip on the Pacifica?
Like a 3-day, I would say.
Yeah.
A 3-day.
You do day-and-a-half to 3-day trips? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the most part.
Do you do any 1-days?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we definitely do some of those in the summer months when, you know.
Fish is close,
yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
What, charters?
I was just going to say, what's the percentage, would you guess, that the boat runs charter versus open party? I know that you guys do plenty of both, but is it more common to see the boat doing private charters or more common for you guys to do the open party thing out of Seaforth?
Now it is for us. And when we originally bought it and, you know, started the business, we were went into it with a game plan of just being a straight open party boat. But as things have progressed, I would say
people like fishing with you guys.
Yeah, I guess we're doing something right. Yeah, because we have, I would say we're probably like 60-70% charter this year.
Wow, good for you guys.
Wow,
that's great. Especially when that wasn't your game plan.
No, it just kind of organically happened, and you know we've got a lot of good groups and people we've met through our open party schedule, and it's working out well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And free parking at Seaforth.
Yeah. Oh yeah, right. That's the bigger lure, free parking.
Yeah,
and lots of it.
Yeah, in and out of there real quick.
For sure. So, you're going to be running this coming week?
Yeah. We're scheduled to go out Friday night. We have a day and a half Friday night and then a two-day trip. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, party. Yeah, we have a two-day trip Sunday morning.
Oh, okay.
Well,
a two-day. They have spots on them?
I think there's one spot on the two-day and maybe 5 or 6 on the day and a half.
Okay.
We're open.
All right. So pretty
full. Yeah. There's a couple spots.
And there's a window of weather next week that looks really, really good after the little blow on Wednesday, Thursday. And
yeah, that's what I saw.
It's looking
Thursday,
really, really good.
Yeah.
So time. Hopefully that's the starting flag there.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Yeah, for sure. Why don't you get it started for us?
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Yeah. Good, right? Yeah.
You were saying that even with the tougher fishing, you know, obviously that there was still a little bit of, I mean, even though that there wasn't a ton in the way of tuna fish to be caught, there was still sign of that fish out there. Maybe not the volume and maybe not in a catchable status, but it was a little bit seen and saw fish flashing around, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there was definitely a little bit here, a little bit there, and you know, there was guys all the way from, you know, way down there. Some of those bigger boats were pretty far, and you know, we were covering the northern sector, and we were both seeing a little bit.
Good.
There's enough boats out right now that are really covering, because you kind of went west. The other guys went south, kind of covering a lot of territory.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the one thing that's been nice this year and really last year too. In years past, in the springtime, there was just a few of us going, and it was kind of hard to stay on top of them. But this year, now that, you know, things have kind of seemed like settled into a pattern, there's more boats going out. And, you know, we all work together, which is something. So, like, when and if they do pop up, we all know about it. We all get to work sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So if somebody wants to go on that trip next Friday or next Sunday, do they book through Seaforth Sport Fishing on the Seaforth
website? Yeah, if they wanted to come. We do have our full schedule online at PacificaSportFishing.com, or you can always call the landing at 619-224-3383.
Now, at PacificaSportFishing.com, you book online, or you actually do that through the Seaforth website?
Or you can do it either Pacifica website or the Seaforth website. They're linked together.
All right.
That's awesome.
Great. And so you have, if people come on that aren't familiar, what's the procedure on the Pacifica? Give us kind of the lowdown of how it works, tackle-wise, bunk-wise, food-wise, all that stuff.
Once you get on board, you know, the guys are, one thing I try to pride myself is having a pretty friendly group of crew members. They're normally be on it to help everyone get rigged up. The tackle store over at Seaforth is great. They have a big selection up there for anything you might need as far as that goes. We typically try and get bait early. That way, by the time, you know, we load up all the passengers, we're ready to go and we're out of there.
So you're often getting bait before you load your passengers?
Yeah, I try to. That way we can get a little bit of a jump. Sure. Yeah, it's the one thing that's nice about Mission Bay. The bait receiver is
so
just right
close,
there. So
yeah.
We can just scoot over, grab our bait, and then, you know, as soon as everyone shows up, we're out of there. Yeah, and then we've got Nick in the galley. Nick's the man. He puts out some really good food. He worked on long range boats for a long time, and I would say our food is comparable to what you would see on any of the bigger boats. Nice. And then in our bunk room, we don't have any staterooms. It's open berthing, but we do have. With that being said, we do have 12 double wide bunks. So if you are coming with us, give the landing a call and get one of those reserved.
That's cool.
They go quick.
And you can do ahead of time?
Once you book your spot, you can call the landing.
That's
and they'll get you one of them.
Yeah, so once you paid for your spot, then you can call Marcos, be like, hey, man, save me whatever this one is.
Yeah, give me the good one. Yeah,
that's cool.
All of our regulars, I swear they have their names carved into the bunk.
That's cool.
Yeah, but if you know the procedure, just call them and get one of those reserved. 12 out of 24 people, you got a 50% chance of getting one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. People that normally ride with us are probably mad I'm telling everyone, though.
Yeah, right.
That's the secret.
You know, get the inside scoop. So in the galley, do you have like a meal package on a day-and-a-half trip, or is it all a la carte? How does that work?
So typically on the shorter day, like the overnights, day-and-a-halves, it's kind of like pay-as-you-go, open tab, you know, traditional, you know, sport fishing type of thing. And then once we get into our longer 2 and 3s, 2.5, 4, whatever it is, then it's everything's included.
Okay, meals are included.
Yeah, we've got breakfast coming out at daylight, lunch comes out around lunchtime, and dinner's right around dinner time every day.
So you're not going to go. You are not going to go hungry.
Yeah, no, definitely not. No, Nick makes sure everyone gets off of there nice and fat and happy.
When you're fishing at night, though, what time's dinner time?
Yeah, right at dinner time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Just like you said. Just like you said.
It's
at dinner
right
time. Right at dinner time.
Depends how many fish you got to get down. You know, depends how busy we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that discussion. Nick and I are cooking. Every day he comes up to the wheelhouse. Hey, Cap, what time should we do dinner? It's like, dude, I have no, whenever. Whenever it's ready, put it out.
I just say, there's
20 dudes that have all been fishing and hungry all day. Like, you make the call, and not one person's going to be bummed about it.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, back, you know, before this nighttime fishing, we would typically wait till it got dark to have dinner. But now, once it gets
dark, it's almost the opposite,
so now
right?
It's like, hey, have dinner ready before it gets dark.
Before it gets dark.
That way we're ready to rock and people aren't tripping over themselves and spilling their spaghetti.
Yeah. Trying to shovel four bites down and then somebody hooks one on a knife jig. Yeah. That's it. I'm done with this thing.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
For sure. Well, as you can hear, I have a great show lined up for today, and Andrew has brought an incredible prize to give away to one lucky caller or a texter.
Dude, you're not kidding about that. Yeah. Such a fun show, and we're so stoked to have Andrew on here. Got so much to talk about. Fishing and tackling gear and going fishing. And if you want to join us this morning, man, we want to hear from you. Give us a call this morning at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup on the phone. Or send us a text. We've already been getting text questions here this morning. If you want to send a text to Let's Talk Hookup, that's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download, whether you have an Android, an iPhone. Super easy to find. Just search Let's Talk Hookup. You can listen to all the archive shows. And it's the only way to text in your questions to Andrew this morning. And, man, Pete, as you said, what a killer prize we are giving away today. And a big thanks to Andrew and the team from the Pacifica. Somebody's going to get to go fishing on board a day and a half trip this year on an open party trip on board the Pacifica.
How cool is that?
You
go fishing next Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just an awesome, awesome opportunity. Again, if you're sending a text, make sure that you include your contact information. Just a name and a phone number is all we need so that we can get back to you in case you win that killer prize. But, yeah, someone's going fishing with Andrew on the Pacifica on a day-and-a-half open party trip.
Woo!
Coming up this season. An awesome, awesome opportunity. Again, on the phones, 213-432-1090, or shoot us those texts on the Let's Talk Hookup app, and at the end of the show, we're going to flip a coin, and that coin's going to designate whether the winner comes from the callers or from the texters. So, going to be a great time talking fishing, hanging out with you. Give us a call this morning. When we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. Southern California Sport Fishing Voice, this is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer Resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I gotta tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop. Like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling i11S and made it even better, then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs, featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair-style seat that is comfortable. Or the all-new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand-up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop, right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at FastLaneKayaking.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on a daily double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Phones are packed up. Everybody's excited to talk to Andrew again. If you want to get your shot to get through this morning, it's 213-432-1090. Or, again, you can always send us those texts on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Phone's already packing up. Let's jump into it.
You got it. How about this morning we start off with Armin, who's called us from Seal Beach this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning. Thank you for taking my call. I ring the Pacifica a number of times. I've always had a good time. Andrew has such a good attitude, and it makes it real easy to fish the boat. Question that I've never gotten the answer for is, how far into Mexico can you go? Because I know there's different tiers, and is there a way of increasing that range?
Yeah, so, I mean, for us, we're Zone 1, which is about 150 miles. You know, if we needed to, there'd be some hoops to jump through as far as Coast Guard and that kind of thing goes. But right now, it's, like, right 150 miles, which is, like, just above or right at San Martin Island.
Yeah, so far enough.
Yeah, far enough. Yeah. Far enough, yeah.
And that is that like safety requirements like that requires, or is it more boat stuff or more things that the crew has to have? Like what?
A little bit of everything.
I mean, that, like you say, the 150 miles is farther than most any local-ish, you know, shorter than, like you said, you like to do four-day trips and lesser, and that's often beyond the distance, you know. You're often not even traveling that far on a trip like that anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, in the years past, we really haven't had to push that far down south. I mean, really, when we're going the distance, it's typically out to the west, going out towards Cortez and that way, and even a couple times past Cortez, but.
That's the thing that's been so unique about this fishing this year is, and, you know, like you said, when it started last year, there's been so much fishing within 60 miles of home these last few years. It's been it's been nice to not have to push it.
I know. Yeah, more time.
No,
less time to sleep. But.
Yeah. So when they say Zone 1, it's 150 miles west or south?
Well, that's like Zone 1, like the furthest south we can go, yeah.
But now, can you go further than 150 miles west?
No.
No, that's the zone.
Yeah.
It's like a draw a big circle around, 150 mile circle around San Diego, and that's
more or less, yeah.
Yeah.
More or less.
Okay. North, south, east, or west.
Yeah.
Well, you can't really go east.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Leland sent a text, and I want to remind people, when you send a text, be sure to include where you're from and your phone number when you send a text so we can get a hold of you in case you win that day-and-a-half trip on the Pacifica.
Cool.
And he wants to know what your favorite sinker rig for bluefin is. Do you like the online rubber band rig, or do you like the drop shot rig? Good question.
It's tough to say, you know, because that the rubber band setup is so tried and true. And with that being said, last year with that drop shot technique, I know that there was a lot of cloud around it because it was the new hot thing, and I think that they both work equally as well. I have noticed when there's more current and the boat's drifting a little bit faster, it seems like that drop shot technique can be a little bit more effective because you do have more control over
it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good tip there.
Yeah.
Yeah, versus the sinker rig, it takes a while for it to get down. That's the problem.
Yeah, right? you just have more control of what's going on.
You can drop that drop shot rig fast.
Yeah, and the one thing, too, about that drop shot rig, too, is it's you find yourself involved in less tangles.
Okay. Oh.
Because everything's more streamlined, and you don't have, you know, that sardine 3 feet away from the sinker doing whatever might be happening.
I mean, I know there's no way of knowing. Is the sardine being 3 feet away from the sinker getting to swim around? Like, I know the beauty of the brawler drop shot rig is that you can haul ass straight down, get in front of them, never be tangled up. Mm-hmm. But then if you can get the rubber band and the sinker rig into the zone, is it better for that bait to be able to swim around and have that 3 feet of movement, or does that almost not matter? As long as there's something wiggling around in the zone, they're going to bite it regardless.
Yeah, I don't think it
matters. I know there's no black or white answer to that.
No, like, there's what's not. I don't think it really matters all that much. I mean, there are times we're fishing with lighter sinkers when we're doing, like, 1 and 2 ounce sinkers and, you know, really finessing them, which in that case, you know, it does make a difference. I do know, you know, the quality of your bait always matters.
Sure.
You know, so, I mean,
no matter what.
Yeah. What? So I guess you definitely want some sort of wiggle room in there. But uh-huh. I don't think that 3 feet makes a difference. Because I think they're getting ragdolled more than anything by that sinker, anyways.
That's a good point. How about pinning the bait on? Like, does it matter how and where you put the hook into a bait when you're fishing with a sinker, whether it be rubber band or drop shot or however else?
Always the nose. Always the nose. Always the nose. I mean, you see guys experiment with other stuff, but it seems like that nose hook is the way mm-hmm. to go.
Like up through the bottom and out the top?
No, side to side.
Side to side?
Side to side. Okay. To the nose, yeah.
All right.
Very traditional.
Good. Yep.
Yeah.
Straight
all
up.
Right.
Cool. All right. Well, let's jump back in the phone.
Yeah, right? You got it. Let's talk to Tom. He's calling us from Temecula this morning. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. Morning, Andrew.
Morning.
Andrew, I fished with you last year and just had a great trip. It was just an overnight trip, and I remember going down into the bunk there and barely got to sleep, and the engines were throttling back. Anyway, ended up with my best tuna that I ever caught, 2 o'clock in the morning, a little bit over 100 pounds, which was a great fish for me. And the fish didn't want to die. It gave the guys with the gaffs there a real hard time. But my question is, I know we've gone through the flat falls and the knife jigs, and my question is, do either work during the daytime or is one better during the night? And is there another type of jig that you've seen work equally well that's maybe not as popular?
You know,
that's a good question.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that it kind of comes in trends where for a while there, we were living and dying by those West Coast jigs. Those things were just deadly. But then it was like last summer, I noticed that the more traditional, like SK, flat fall type of jig was getting bit a little bit better. It was like August, I think I remember that. I will say during the daytime, seems like those smaller profile, like Colt Sniper, or even last year I was a big fan of the Jig Para. During the daytime, those smaller profile jigs seem to be a little bit better than the, you know, the slower sinking SK flatfall type of jig.
Are you switching the hooks out on those?
Depending on, you know, the jig. Some of the jigs come with sufficient hooks. Some of them don't. You know, one thing we did start doing is we only put jigs on one side, or only put hooks on one side of the jig.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Had to take too many
as opposed to a top and a bottom.
Yeah.
You just want them on the bottom or just want them on the top?
Yeah, typically the top. We normally just put them on the top.
And then how about, like, you know, you talked about, like, the other profile jigs, like the Colt Sniper and the Jig Para. Do those, you keep the treble hook on them, or do you switch them to an assist hook? Or how do you treat that?
Yeah, 100% assist.
Okay.
Single assist.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it seems like those treble hooks seem to slip out more. That you pull a lot of hooks with those, but once you switch those single hooks, you have less fall off.
So if you had like a 120-gram Colt Sniper, the biggest one they make, or Jig Para makes a shape that's basically a Colt Sniper-ish, you know, thing mm-hmm. that's a little heavier, you take the treble hook off and then put an assist hook on the top, or do you put it in the bottom where the treble was?
On the Colt Sniper, we'd probably put it on the bottom, but on the Jig Para, we put it on the top.
Okay.
Yeah, I was fishing, last year it was the 150 and the 180-gram. During the daytime.
That's good dope.
Yeah.
Sea Falcon, I might add, Sea Falcon just introduced a Colt Sniper-like jig.
Hey, okay.
It's called the King something. I forget what the name is, but they just introduced it in 80, 100, and 120 gram. So watch for those, too, because those are all handmade, hand-painted, really pretty
That's
cool jigs.
Oh, okay.
They're really good-looking jigs.
Yeah, the one thing I would say, you know, because it does come and go in phases, and what's working now or what works later. When you see a fish at the deck, go look what's hanging out of its mouth.
Sure, yeah, you totally know. Right. And you know, if they're up a little higher, you can get away. So I would have a question. If the fish are up a little higher, you can probably get away with a lighter jig. Is that always the thing? Like, if you're not needing to be down 300 or 400 feet, like, do you always want to use the lightest jig possible? Or is that not necessarily the case? You know, so many people buy those 300-gram and 400-gram knife jigs for nighttime fishing. Is there a general rule on, you know, is lighter always better, but you need to be heavy enough to get there, or not necessarily? Like,
yeah, well, I mean,
just
a lot
for guys getting ready.
Yeah, you know? Well, a lot of it's current dependent. You know, there was times last year when the boat was drifting at a knot and a half, and the guys fishing those lighter jigs couldn't get down there. But then there was, on the flip side, there was times when that fish was coming all the way up to, you know, 20 fathom, you know, 120 mm-hmm. feet, and the guys with those big, heavy 500-gram jigs were just blowing right by them. So, yeah, it's definitely...
Be prepared.
Be prepared, yeah. And that's one thing, at least, you know, I know myself and a lot of captains, we like to hear ourselves talk. So we're all over the PA, like, lighter jigs, guys, or heavier jigs, or, you know, whatever it may be. Yeah.
One of the nice things... Oh, good.
You also said the traditional... Shimano flat fall type of jig too works on those lighter jigs. Like how light? 200, 100, 150 gram? What size?
At nighttime, I very rarely go lighter than 200.
Yeah, but daytime?
Daytime, yeah. Daytime, like you said last year, like 150 to 180 was what I was fishing during the day.
By the way, those Sea Falcon jigs are called King Chaser. Okay. So watch for those coming up.
That's King, mate. The nice thing is, at least, you know, most everybody at this point, we're several years into this type of jig fishing, and a lot of people probably have, you know, a big Sea Falcon or a big Streaker or whatever, you know. So at least you've, you know, added that to your arsenal. Now it's a little easier to start adding some of those niche-y type jig, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't appear to be a fad that's going away anytime soon. I mean, this, you know, vertical jigging is how we're starting to catch a lot of this bluefin. And, you know, now everybody's already, cause when one of those jigs rigged up correctly, they're not cheap. You know what I mean? Like the jigs might be in that, you know, $15 to $30 range, but you still got to throw another $20 worth of hooks on them and heavy duty split rings. I mean, they're not a cheap investment, but at this point, a lot of us now have those in their bag, and it's starting to get easier to add some of those niche jigs to your arsenal. You know, you go on each trip you go on, you add a jig or two to your collection. And next thing you know, now you are set, like Andrew's talking about. And you've got your daytime specialties and your nighttime heavy ones, and it's just getting easier and easier to add to the quiver.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Hey, well, we had a great text come through. This one was from Jose. Says, hello, Captain Andrew. A couple years ago, back when I was on your boat for my first ever day and a half trip, I had an excellent time. I got a little motion sickness in the morning, and your chef and crew really helped me battle through it. And I hooked a 55-pound bluefin on 30-pound line, and I really wanted to compliment your guys on the boat for how they bled, removed all the guts out of my fish. Without question, it was the single best bluefin I've ever had to date, and I think it was because of the care you guys took on the fish. And that was Jose in, up in, looks like, San Diego.
Nice, nice. Well, yeah, I'm glad he enjoyed it. You know, it does make such a big difference.
So you gill and gut the bigger fish like that, put them in the RSW fish well.
Yeah, like 35 pounds, everything bigger than 35 pounds, they get nice. Gilled and gutted right away. And I tell the crew members to treat them like their grandmother.
Nice.
Don't slam them around, throw them in the fish hold, like just take it easy, you know. Because really, when it comes down to it, that's for lack of a better term, really the fruit of our labor. And in my opinion, when you're sitting down and eating it with your neighbor or your girlfriend or whatever it is, that's like the grand finale of the trip.
Right.
And you've come up under some of the boats that have always been like the absolute highliners on fish care.
Oh, yeah. Brian Chiara, he really drove that home. When I worked for him for 6 years.
And, on the American Angler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I worked there. That's kind of where I learned how important it was to, you know, take care of it.
And he's developed the pinnacle of care. Yeah. Standard, so you know. Yeah.
Yeah. When you talk to any of the fish processors and ask them, like, that name always comes up at the top on the people who take the most mm-hmm. pride in their fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Learn from the right guy.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
One thing he always told me, too, is periodically to pop in the processor and watch him cut some of our fish and see how it's good. So I'll go over and I'll watch them cut a few of our fish and make sure it
looks good.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, just on your end, make sure there's nothing, you know.
Yeah, or I'll tell Marco and the guys over at Five Star, like, hey, you know, let me know.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, that's awesome.
Not right, let me know.
Get the input.
That's cool. Yeah. What is the procedure like? So, you know, Jose's got his fish and it comes to the gaff. Like, what is the procedure like when you guys put a gaff into it? What's like the move that happens on the Pacifica? What do you guys do?
I mean, I would say it's more or less the same as everyone else. You know, as soon as the fish comes over the rail, the first thing we do is, you know, we spike it, especially with those big knife jigs hanging out of them. We get the fish dispatched.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, anything bigger than 35 pounds, we try to get them cut, you know, as quickly as possible. Sometimes when fishing is good, and there's a lot going on, they can't get cut as quickly as possible. But try to make sure the fish is never on deck for more than 10 minutes or so. And they're right down in the fish hole. We have the fish hole, you know, fired up well before we're fishing. And we keep that refrigerated fish hold right around 33 degrees, just above freezing.
That's cool.
Yeah, great. So, hey, 213-432-1090 open right now. Everybody wants to go aboard the day, get a chance to get that day and a half trip on the Pacific, go fishing with Andrew. A line open right now, 213-432-1090.
Let's jump into those phones, talk to Matt. He's calling us from Fountain Valley this morning. Good morning, Matt. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Well, good morning, fellas. Good morning, Andrew. Good
morning.
Guys, I just wanted to tell you a quick story on the Pacifica. I'm a regular on the Pacifica, and we had fish all the way into mid-November this last year on the Pacifica with Andrew. Evan, the second ticket's great. Nick in the galley, nobody's going hungry on that boat, that's for sure. Anyway, just to tell you how hard this crew works, on a day and a half, mid-November, we had our first stop in the middle of the night. I think it was like three in the morning. Went for about an hour, and we got some nice fish. And then we, you know, looked around all day long, and with no stops, we had a 14-hour drive. And, 10 o'clock the second night of the day and a half, Andrew gets on the PA. Everybody wake up. These ones are going to bite. So we filled the boat with 60 pounders, and these fish were inhaling the knife jigs all the way down to their belly.
Wow.
So
great,
they were
great
hungry.
Times.
How'd you know they're going to bite?
And that's it.
Crystal ball.
You'll pull it out every time.
That's cool. And so you're one of those guys that knows inside
great.
Tip on how to get the double bunk, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got that right. Number 28 is mine.
Yeah, there was a lot of that last year, just staring at that sun, praying for it to go away.
I'll bet. That's so wild.
Wow. And then all of a sudden, the switch turns on,
yeah,
huh?
No, it's always worth it. Always, but...
You know, how many years you fished before that where you're just like, man, I just give me two more hours. Please just give me two more hours of looking, you know, before the sun goes away. Now it's the exact opposite. Like, man, hurry up and get that thing out of here so we can get to work.
Well, I mean, yeah, 5 years ago, I mean... Really, like, we were all fishing for the sundown bite, and it was, like, the last hour of day. Like, that was crunch time. You know, that was when everyone, like, you know, all the operators and everyone was the most aggressive and, you know, making sure you're in good position for the last hour of daylight. Now it's like,
you're trying to eat your spaghetti.
Last hour of daylight, it's like, all right, we're going to have dinner.
Yeah. Make sure you get your gear tuned up.
Yeah, if you need a hand getting rigged up, now's the time to get with the boys.
Now, how did that all happen? So, yeah. Who started that whole thing, found out that, hey, these things really want to bite at night?
I remember when we first started doing it, well, I mean, I guess it goes back to, you know, the long-range fishing down south, those yellowfin, there's a lot of that nighttime fishing. But the first year I remember doing it was, I want to say 2016, maybe, San Clemente Island, when the fish was out by Desperation.
Yeah.
I don't remember who the first person was to do it, but I remember when I was driving the Thunderbird, man, it was crazy. We'd get to the island around 3 in the morning, we'd fish bluefin until the sun came up, and then we would go yellowtail fishing.
Nice.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Overnight trips.
That's so crazy. We've talked about it so many times in here, but just think about all the times, you know, that you're driving the boat at nighttime and, you know, writing down on a, you know, a little log on a piece of paper, hey, we ran over a big school at these, you know, at this set of numbers. And then a couple hours later, ran over another real big one at this one. And then when the sun comes up, you jog back uphill and, you know,
start
there. Like, just think of how many yellow legal pads of paper people wrote down sets of numbers over the years that if you probably, you know, had a boat full of guys dropping knife jigs, all the fish that potentially would have been caught.
Oh, yeah, I'm 100% guilty of it. Yeah, when I was driving at night, oh, hey, we saw a school here, saw a school there. Yeah, for the captain when he wakes up. Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of dummies should have just stopped the boat.
Yeah, but 10 years ago, like, you know, that was the time to get some sleep. Like, how, you know, you're stopping the boat every 15 minutes. Hey, wake up. I think we're going to try this one. Like, that didn't fly either, I'm sure.
Yeah. No. I'm like, wait, I'm sleeping, man. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Norman in San Diego says, he has a question. He says, a hook question for Captain Andrew. In the beginning or infrequent bluefin angler, what do you recommend, a circle or a J-hook?
Depending on the size line. You know, if we're fishing smaller fish, you're fishing 25 or 30-pound line, it's total personal preference. To be honest, if you're a more novice fisherman, I would almost recommend a J-hook just because you spend less time trying to get the hook into the bait. Mm-hmm. And the end result is you have a better bait on the end of your hook. Whereas sometimes some of those, especially the smaller circle hooks, they're tough to get in the bait. And in the process of getting the hook in there, the bait just, you know, is half dead by the time you're done with them.
And what's your favorite way to hook a bait?
When we're fly lining, butt hook. I like the butt hook.
The butt hook, okay.
Butt hook, yeah. Or if I'm fishing up at the bow, you know, every once in a while, sneak up there. The shoulder hook up at the bow is pretty effective. Took that one out of Taro's book.
Very good. Cool. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. Phone lines are packed up. There's one line open if you want it. That's 213-432-1090. More Let's Talk Hookup, including the Catch Port, coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
The ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all those miles of beachfront, the palapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, that's Rancho Leonero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards. We've got kayaks. We've got snorkeling equipment, of course. We've got 12 super pockets. We have dive trips. We've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RancherLandAero.com. It's unique.
Hey, you know, in this day of innovation, I got to tell you, every year we see better things coming to us, better two-speed reels, lighter, better line, better everything. Well, G. Loomis and Shimano have developed a better rod, and that is the new IMX Pro Offshore Series rods that are going to debut this month at your local tackle store. It's pretty amazing, Rod.
They did a really, really nice job. You know, we see a lot of things come down in the research and development phase, and what happens a lot of times is somebody will build a rod and produce it and say, what do you think? And maybe you could, you know, we could give our thoughts or notes, and oftentimes you don't ever see the changes because it's very expensive for a rod company to then go back to the drawing board and redo. And this line of IMX Pros from G. Loomis has been through multiple revisions. Like, they wanted to make it perfect, and, dude, I think they might have. They're so, so nice.
Built for West Coast anglers, specifically for West Coast anglers. 20 to 80-pound or 100-pound rod. They have a great rail rod. But they're super lightweight, and I love the grip.
Yeah, very nice components. Like, we said the same thing exactly. Like, you know, well, this would be perfect for our market, but, you know, that might not be the right call for you guys building rods because it's kind of niche-y to the West Coast. And they said that is the only thing we care about. We want to build a perfect line of West Coast saltwater fishing rods, and I think they did it.
Check them out. The new G. Loomis IMX Pro Offshore Series rods coming soon to your local tackle retailer.
Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Talking Pacifica, great fishing, having a good time. Hey, it's time for the Catch Report. We're going to find out what's biting out there this morning. And today, that Catch Report is sponsored by our great friends at Gamakatsu. It's not just hooks that make anglers wild about Gamakatsu. They also offer the finest split rings and solid rings by Gamakatsu. And if you're looking for quality swivels, Gamakatsu has you covered with the best. And when it comes to assist hooks, they've got you covered there too with a wide assortment of sizes and styles. And we went heavy for the El Salto trip.
Nice.
You know, that Gamakatsu EWG Superline hook is like the gold standard comes to that kind of stuff. And their Superline split rings, like, they're the bomb. No doubt about it. Gamakatsu. Check them out at your local dealer or check out Gamakatsu.com. We're going to go to another place that's very comfortable for Andrew, and that's up at Dana War Sport Fishing. Talk to our good buddy, Captain Brian Woolley's on the line. What's up, Woolley?
What's up, guys? Morning. What's happening? Morning, Andrew.
Morning.
Good stuff this morning, man. Sitting back, enjoying, reminiscing, thinking of some good old times back when Yeah, we called him Curtis when he worked with us, but that's a whole other story. We have to...
My alias.
That's great.
Anyways, well, hey.
You got your start up there at Dana Wharf?
Yeah. I worked for Brian all through high school, and then first couple years out of high school, I worked for Brian. It was like 5 years I worked for Wooly.
No kidding.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. You trained.
Yeah, we had a good time.
We had a good time
from coastal bass fishing, yellowtail, tuna, giant squid. Yeah, we had some good times.
I was there for the big squid era.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's how he bought his first truck.
What was that, Ford Raider?
Literally the story that I was going to tell. That, like, that's the one thing I remember about giant squid fishing is, you know, every dude that worked on a half-day boat, like, at the end of that, after the filet money, every single one of them had a brand-new truck. Like, that's the thing I remember the most about Seaforth, like, when I was in high school and just out of it was, like, you know, like, dude, everybody had a new truck after that year. There was enough side money from cutting squid that everybody upgraded.
That's right. That was the squid stimulus package. We were all about it.
That's cool, Willie.
Well, cool. Hey, for us up here, you know, cold water on the beach as a result of some of that wind. It was 52 degrees when we left the harbor a few days ago. So it's been kind of ramping back up. Yeah, 55, 56, kind of like that. So as you can take that, you know, the half-day fishing has been kind of tricky. So the half-day bass guys, scratching hard to catch a few fish there. So it's been kind of sculpin, sheephead, things like that on the sinkers. And the last half-day trips, the last day or two, have been kind of temporarily switched into rockfish mode with that cooler water. So they've been making a run down off Fox Canyon there, fishing in a few hundred feet of water to make a little catch and then head back and kind of, you know, figure out their second half day trip. Three quarter day scene really has been on that local rockfish there too off Pendleton with, you know, some nice mixed bags of fish, you know, grouper, whitefish, some nice reds and stuff. But the problem this week too, we have some raging current. The current downhill is like a river, like borderline unfishable. So the guys that were fishing the lighter braid, like that 30-pound braid was cut through that water, you know, twice as good as a 65, you know, it just gets down clean. It's plenty heavy for fishing that shallow water. And, you know, it works good with, you know, a suitable sinker, 10 to 16 ounce sinker. So getting lines to the fish in that current was the hard part for us the last day or two. So if you look at our fish counts on the three quarter day trips, you may have noticed a huge dip. That's just because that current was just wreaking havoc out there in that deeper water. So off the beach, out on that 14 mile bank, man, that has been banging. It's just been very good fishing out there. And that current hasn't been an issue out there, even in that deeper 100-fathom stuff. So good quality fish on those bankies, chilies, picacho, all that stuff that you'd expect to see in that 600 to 700-foot zone. There you definitely don't want to scale down your line. You want to fish that 65-pound braid with just a short mono leader so we can get your hooks tied on and that kind of stuff and have a good assortment of sinkers from 10 to, you know, 28, 32 ounces to get you down in that deeper water. And then over at Clemente again, still rockfish. Marcus was there yesterday, had very nice limits of rockfish by mid-morning for his group there, and then he kind of slid in and fished whitefish and sheephead. Water was cold over there, too. He sent me a pic of his temp gauge, 56 degrees in the zones where he had hoped to have seen some of that yellowtail. But with that cooler water, that fish just wasn't in there. So he's at the dock a day or two, and then he's back out there Tuesday night fishing Wednesday with some availability. So if you want to hop on a trip and go get some of that good island rockfish, you know, it'd be a good time to hop on a trip there. So pretty much all rockfish mode, and it's been good across the board. So if you guys want to hop on a trip with us, give the landing a call. Make those reservations. Our number here, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can link us there through the Let's Talk Hookup page, or you can hit us at danawharf.com. And again, when you book online, use that code SPRING25. That'll give you 25% off a half or a three-quarter day trip if you want to come fishing with us.
Nice.
Good call.
Yeah, for sure. Great job. Captain Brian Wooly, Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. It's going to warm up, I promise. It really is. It's going in a positive way. So it's
we're ready for it.
Yeah,
yep.
For sure.
We're ready.
All right. Well, we'll talk to a great report, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
All right, guys. Thanks for the time. And, Andrew, I'm coming to see you soon, buddy.
All right.
Give me a spot.
Fish with him?
Thanks, Wooly.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
All right, guys. Thanks for that. We'll see you later.
Let me know when you go. I'm coming, too.
Deal.
All right.
Later,
one of our listeners is going, too.
That's right.
Day half trip. Yeah. Thanks to Andrew. Hey, while we're waiting for Gundy, our surf guru, I've got a great question here from Rory in Lakeside. Really good question. He says, I've only done overnight trips. What do you gain by doing a day and a half over a day trip and over a two-day trip? What's the kind of the bonus of going to day and a half or 2 day?
Well, I mean, one, more range. You know, you're out a little bit longer. If you have to make a little bit more of a run, you know, 100 miles on a day and a half is no big deal. whereas, you know, on an overnight trip, I would say probably 50 to 60 miles is kind of the cap. And we pushed it further than that. But and then with all, you know, we've been talking night fishing pretty much, you know, this whole show. You very limited on an overnight with that nighttime fishing.
There's really not much night fishing going on a full day trip.
No, unless the fish are real close, which, yeah. I mean, we have had some, you know, on an overnight trip, we have seen some of it, but not like, you know, not like on those longer trips.
So on a day and a half trip, do you actually get two nights to fish, or is it usually you're traveling the first night and then you get the second night?
Well, it all depends on the distance. Man, there was one night in particular 2 years ago. I remember lifting a 150-pounder over the railing, looking up and seeing the SeaWorld fireworks.
No.
Get out of here. Really? No way.
We're throwing this thing on, and I looked up, and I could see the SeaWorld fireworks. I was like, oh, man. So
we're close.
When they're close, yeah, you get a lot of fishing. But, you know, it all depends on where they're at.
Yeah. And what about a two-day? What's the difference between a day and a half and a two-day?
The one thing that we've been doing this year is a lot of our two-day trips, we switched them to morning departures.
Okay.
What that does is strictly geared around nighttime fishing. We used to call them 1.75s, but now we're just being realistic. We're calling them two-day trips. So you get to the zone, you know, no matter how far you have to go in all reality, you're going to get to the zone by dark, and you have an entire full night, an entire full day, and then most likely part of the second night before you have to go home.
Yeah, a lot more fishing.
And a two-day gives you the 12 hours of each day on the water, so you can, if you're lucky enough to, you can take 2 days worth of limits.
Yeah, exactly. How you get those extra two fish, if you know.
Versus on a day and a half, you can only take a one-day limit, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good point, Ricky.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. All right. Hey, phones are absolutely packed up. Again, if you want to get your chance when one drops off, 213-432-1090. That's the number. Next up, let's talk to Dave. He's calling us from Spring Valley this morning. Hi, Dave. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Andrew, I see you have a lot of day and a half and 2 days on that schedule. And I see for the 2 days, it tells you it's all inclusive, you know, with the meal and everything. On the day and a half, it shows $435, but the meals aren't included. What can an angler expect to pay on top of that $435?
As far as food goes, breakfast is normally $10-$12, you know, depending on what we're having. And lunch is about the same, $10-$12. And then dinner, you know, is normally around $20, depending if we're having, you know, chicken or steak. We kind of tailor the price to what we're having. You know, if we're having steak, we charge a little bit more. If we're having chicken, we charge a little bit less. But I would say, you know, for meals, if you had three meals, right around $45, we'll cover that. And then the rest is how much beer you want to drink.
So that covers it.
That's
so,
it, Dave.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner. And you eat as much as you want that way, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, there's no limit. You want two burgers? You can have two burgers.
Yeah,
right?
Depends on how much whining you did. But, hey, with that, we're going to continue on with our catch report. Find out what's biting in the surf. Our surf guru, Gundy Gunderson, is standing by. Good morning, Gundy.
Hey, we got the reports we were waiting for.
All right.
You know, good weather. Strong tides, real good full moon tides this past week, and our first grunion run of the season, and it had to happen. There were two areas that are really good, up west of Santa Barbara, and then the lagoons in San Diego showed signs of life. You know, the water quality still isn't clean. It's a bit off color, but these fish really want to bite, and there was quite a bit of success this week. Several halibut catches were reported, like I said, up and down the coast. With a couple of big ones, the barred perch bite also kicked into gear, especially up north there, and the first spawners of the season were reported. So, like we talked about, you know, things, when they get going, they're going to get going fast, and that's what we're seeing. We are, you know, in mid-April here. So, Hook, Line, Sink reported several little halibut taken from the cleaner western beaches, Elwood, El Capitan, Refugio, Gaviota. You know, not big fish there, but lots of fish in the 23 to 29-inch range. So I would gather that grunion run had a lot to do with drawing some of these fish shallow. The barred perch bite also perked up there, and they reported, like I said, the first spawners of the year, topped by a 14-inch fish. That's a really nice fish. And those are those larger hens that we like to see as the spawn unfolds. Good fishing from Carpinteria to Silver Strand, Fifth Street, that Oxnard area, always good, always a good place to go when they're spawning. But the big story down south was the lagoon bite. Some of those North County lagoons, Pacific Coast, reported a 26-pound, 4-ounce halibut taken on a live smelt in Carlsbad Lagoon. Ooh. And another 40-inch fish wasn't taken by mouth but was snagged with a crankbait. So those larger halibut are starting to move in the lagoon, into the lagoon. And like I said, the water is not ideal, but they want to bite, and the bait's getting in there and everything. They had a few fish on the beach also, and I'm sure that's a function of that grunion run. So I'm telling you, sharpen your hooks and get out there this week because things are going.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Nice to have a surf report other than it's windy and it's raining.
I know.
And we're waiting for the conditions to change around. Glad to hear there's some biting fish. And how about a 40-inch halibut in the lagoon on a crankbait?
Holy
man.
Yeah.
And the guy, he admitted that it didn't take it. And halibut do that. I've seen them do that where they, like, jump on top of the lure. You'll see it sometimes in shallow water. And he said it was like pulling on a rug, a wet rug, because it was...
Rug, man.
Yeah, it's a big rug.
Cool. That's
good
cool.
for him. Well, hey, it's halibut obviously in the spawn mode, so get out there and go fish him. And, of course, Gundy, we sure appreciate all you do and all your great information. And I'll bet next week it's even going to be better. What do you think?
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, too. If timing isn't perfect, the new April edition of South Coast has a piece I wrote on fishing shallow halibut from 1 to 3 fathoms.
Is that
from
you?
The shore, from a boat, don't matter. Lots of fish shallow.
Is that something you wrote?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
And so you're showing your age, Gundy. It's Pacific Coast Sport Fishing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, South Coast.
I apologize.
A long time ago, right?
But
Pacific Coast Sport Fishing Magazine, great magazine.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Right,
so
it is a good magazine. And
all right, Gundy. Talk to you next week.
Thanks
buddy. A lot.
Have Thanks for straightening me out, Pete.
Right.
We're getting old, aren't we?
Later, Gundy. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming away. Want to remind you, all your surf fishing needs, you check out fishthesurf.com. They got it all. And when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. And more with Captain Andrew from the Pacifica. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
It's time to go fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. The perfect rod to handle the toughest fish is Shimano Terramar. The secret? TC4 blank construction with Tech Tape outer wrap to shield the fibers from the impact damage. Make sure to match your Shimano Terramar rod with a Shimano Tranx 500. X-Ship and HEG technologies combine to provide the Shimano Tranx massive cranking power with a smooth and effortless retrieve. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hard-working crew will maximize your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day, full-day, and open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone, the Ford F-150, available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. it's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at AFCO.com.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including Overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.